Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So somebody apparently needs to buy a calculator over at Bank of America. B of A announced a major accounting error in reporting on its financial health to the Federal Reserve, part of the so-called bank stress test program to determine if large institutions are creeping toward insolvency, something put into place after the financial meltdown in 2009. Bank of America said it would suspend plans to buy back $4 billion in stock and would suspend an increase in its dividend, and now has 30 days to resubmit its capital plan to the Federal Reserve. Joining me now, Heidi Moore, U.S. Finance and Economics Editor at The Guardian. Welcome back, Heidi.
It's good to be here.
The markets hated this business yesterday.
Yes, absolutely. It's confirmed all their worst fears about Bank of America since the 2009 financial crisis. You can practically hear the jokes already, too big to fail and too dumb to notice. So one of the issues is that not only did Bank of America not know that it had made this giant mistake, a $4 billion mistake, but the Federal Reserve also didn't notice it, and that's been going on for 5 years now.
Two really big issues here, and you know, big is a word that is all over this story. One is the clarity of the stress test program. It doesn't necessarily, if you pass the stress test, aside from the fact that the numbers were wrong here, I mean, you don't necessarily know what you're looking at.
Yes, exactly. The entire purpose of the stress test is almost a kind of theater to have some comfort for the security of our banks. And so there used to be an old joke when the stress test first started in 2009, when everything was really dark, that the Fed had gone from grading the banks on a pass-fail system to a simple pass-pass system, because the banks were just in such bad shape that it would be scary to know the extent of it. So what's happened since then is that the Fed judges the banks on the basis of how they would do in several scenarios: an adverse scenario, a severely adverse scenario, what happens if one of their counterparties goes out of business, as happened with AIG. And the banks figure that out themselves. They submit it to the Fed. The Fed runs the numbers on their own and sees if that's correct, and then tells the banks whether they can take some risks with the money that they have, whether they have enough money to pay back dividends or buy back shares.
It's basically all about their reserves. The Federal Reserve says you have to keep this amount of money on account to cover these sorts of losses based on this stress test.
Exactly. And that's actually sort of misleading. I mean, our entire banking system is judged by the amount of capital it keeps. Almost, you can picture it like the money you have in your savings account being as a cushion. But we don't live on what's in our savings accounts, right? We live on what's in our paychecks. And banks work the same way. They work on what they borrow every single day from each other. And what we see during a financial crisis is that that's the first money to go. So the capital reserves are great. They're a nice cushion, but they won't last long if we have another scare like 2008.
And that structural issue, the stress test doesn't even really come after. So what they're passing and failing really doesn't relate to what would happen if another financial crisis would occur. Okay, that's issue number one. Issue number two involves the two ghosts of 2009, B of A's acquisition of a Countrywide, the mortgage broker, and Merrill Lynch.
Yes. This all has to do with Merrill Lynch. The reason Bank of America failed this stress test and missed its accounts by $4 billion is because of its acquisition of Merrill Lynch, which apparently it never quite figured out. So for the past 5 years, there have been these securities that came with Merrill Lynch that were supposed to protect Bank of America against a loss. And there is a system where you're supposed to mark those at the market value, right? So how much would they sell for on Tuesday? How much would they sell for on Wednesday? And it's confusing. Granted, it's confusing. It would be confusing for you and me, but it shouldn't be confusing for Bank of America. And for the past 5 years, they have accounted for those securities from Merrill Lynch incorrectly. And that is scary, because not only the persistence of the failure of accounting from that acquisition, but because Bank of America bought Countrywide, which was the nation's largest mortgage lender, and that accounting potentially has some even scarier things to come up that we may not have even heard about.
Bank of America's argument here might be, hey, look, we took a bullet for the economy, all right? Merrill Lynch was worthless. It was in flames. We acquired it. The federal government said, acquire this. We acquired Countrywide. It was virtually worthless. Look, give us a break here.
You know, a lot of banks have made that argument as well. JP Morgan has argued that when it bought Bear Stearns. The truth is, these banks got some very sweet deals. And in the case of Merrill Lynch specifically, Lehman Brothers was Bank of America could have bought Lehman Brothers and arguably have done even more to save the economy. But instead, it went to Merrill Lynch because it thought Merrill Lynch was a better value. So there were always moments of choice where they could, you know, exert some economic self-determination and make more profits for their shareholders. And that's the direction they went in. When they bought Countrywide, they thought they'd make money on it. They didn't think they were buying into the center of the financial crisis.
Is this a $4 billion write-down, which is probably a three-day story, or is this the beginning of a can of worms that's really going to show the nasty dark center of Bank of America over the next several months?
Yeah. Well, Bank of America is not actually going to lose any money on this because of the way accounting works. This was all basically imaginary money anyway. It's still well capitalized.
Wouldn't it be great if we could live that way?
I know,
anyway,
wouldn't it?
Continue.
So there, it's not really going to hurt the bank per se, but it does tell you a little bit about what we don't know about banks. And I think we should take that as a sobering moment. If we were to guess that everything at Bank of America was going wrong, we'd be incorrect. But it does show us that there are things that even the experts don't know and that we should be questioning the health of the banks, even if everyone wants to convince us that they're absolutely secure, because no one can say that with definitive knowledge.
And the takeaway here, and you mentioned it just a moment ago, is that if a financial meltdown happens again in 2016, the idea that banks open some closet and, you know, cart out the money that's their reserves is really a fiction. It's all about what they borrow every day. That shuts down. We're right back to 2009.
That's exactly right. That's what brought Lehman Brothers down. It's what brought Bear Stearns down. It wasn't that they were weak financially. They weren't really. It was that no one would lend them money because they looked weak. And that's what's going to happen in the next financial crisis. So what we really need to fix is this short-term lending system that banks survive on. And nothing that's happened in the Dodd-Frank Financial Reform Act, nothing that's happened in any regulatory reform has changed that.
Great. I feel much better now. Heidi Moore, U.S. Finance and Economics Editor at The Guardian, talking about the $4 billion accounting error at Bank of America announced this week. Heidi, thanks so much.
Thank you.